Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And a good Wednesday morning, everybody. Welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. No, I am not Robbie Stanley. Chase McCabe in today for Robbie alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic. Hope you're having an awesome day so far. Joseph, how are we?
Good. You got the show name right off the bat.
Yeah, that's good. Right. I said I was worried about that there's probably going to be at some point I'm going to say Chase Willie and D Mace, but you know, or call you Derek Mason or whatever. But I mean, worse things to be called.
Yeah, we're both Michigan State legends. That's true.
It's easy to get a little bit more confused than him.
Both very athletic, great athletes. You know,
that's understandable. It.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Speaking of athletic, it's feeling more and more like we might see Malik Willis on Saturday, against the Houston Texans. And I've been thinking about that. By the way, I should mention this to start. Sad news out of Pittsburgh, seeing reports that Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris has passed away at the age of 72. The Steelers legend that they were just honoring, it's the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. The Steelers and the Raiders are going to play on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve night, one of the two. So I just literally saw that right before we went on the air.
I was just watching a podcast with him. I think that he did yesterday.
That's crazy.
And they were talking about the – I mean, there's all kinds of – 50th anniversary. Anybody's ever been to that airport, it's the, you know, frozen in time where the ball's coming, you know, down to us. That's it's awful.
Well, and David just said his jersey is supposed to be retired actually this weekend.
They haven't done that
yet? Wait, really? His jersey's going to be retired this weekend?
Wow.
I would figure that would have been done in like 1983.
I know.
But okay. Wow. Well, sad news.
Yeah, very sad news. 72 years old. But, so we'll keep you updated on that as more info comes out. But I was thinking about, you know, Malik Willis, and I guess the positive is at least this is a team he's seen before. You know, he's getting to go up against Houston. You know, the last time they went through this, it was like, okay, well, if there was ever a game that he had to start, it was Houston. Well, now he's probably going to get to do it again. I know Vrabel has said that, you know, just because Tannehill doesn't practice doesn't mean he won't play. I thought when he walked or was carted off last week, even though he came back in the game, like, he's not going to play because they could shoot him up in the game, tape it. I would say Monday morning he could barely walk on that thing. So I would not be surprised at all if we see Malik Willis. And this offense has been pretty inept even with Tannehill. So 9 passes and the Derrick Henry show is probably what you'll see.
Yeah, well, and I mean, look, the offensive line. I think the biggest news yesterday, which is a new one and it's a recurring one, it's really at some point it becomes a real concern. Ben Jones, another concussion. So
yeah, that's not good.
So, you know, two this year for sure. I think you can pretty much rule him out now for this game. And then if you go through this list, which is just incredible, by the way, this Titans injury list is just, I mean, it's an epic. This requires, you know, like multiple pages and like several editors to get this out. You got everybody but Dennis. So basically what I'm reading on this injury report is the whole line is hurt, and so Vrabel gave Dennis Daly the day off. The other starters are out, so just chill out for a day. Yeah, because you got Nate Davis with an ankle, and of course he's had a knee, but now it's an ankle. Ben Jones concussion. You got Dylan Radins with a knee, did not practice.
Yep.
They signed two linemen yesterday. That tells you something. Aaron Brewer, rib. He was limited. Nicholas Petitfair, ankle. He was limited.
And yesterday was just a walkthrough.
Yeah, so, right. So it's not like it's – but I guess it's like, well, it's – all these guys are not participating, or I guess partially a couple of them, but they could be – a very different looking offensive line in front of Malik Willis. So
yeah, I'm gonna tell you, Joe, if you're not practicing in a walkthrough, we got problems. We got big problems. Can't walk today.
Yeah,
can't do it.
And there's a lot of DNPs, including some of the Fulton continues to be, but no, I mean, look, I think Burks is going to come back. That's the good. The best. The worst news is the Ben Jones. The best news is Treylon Burks, full participant. You would expect after 2 weeks concussion protocol, he'd be back. So that's good for Malik Willis. But here's the thing, too, Chase. I think honestly, Thursday night really dictates what the Titans do the rest of the way, basically, because if the Jags win at the Jets, like, these games don't really mean anything.
Right.
I mean, unless you believe that the Texans could beat the Jags, next week, which, so if the Jags beat the Jets, then the Titans win two games, including against your Cowboys, and the Jags lose the Texans, then it's over. But if the Jags win at the Jets, it's 98% that you are playing for it at the end. So these two games mean nothing.
Yeah.
They really do. They mean nothing.
Well, that's why Titans fans are going to be pulling for the Jets Thursday night.
Oh, absolutely. Well, of course. Yeah. And if the Jags win, I mean, honestly, like, I think there are some decisions. And of course, there's going to be a final injury report out Thursday because of the Saturday game. But if there's a bunch of questionables on there Thursday when that injury report comes out and the Jags win, I think those questionables go boop to out. I mean, and of course, you want to win. You want to stop the bleeding. You want to get a good feeling back. But you pretty much will know as of Thursday night, if you're going to have to play for the division at the end anyway.
And the Cowboys could potentially – I mean, they're basically going to be locked into the fifth seed, barring any type of craziness.
Yeah. Eagles just have to win one more game, right?
Yeah. Now, I don't think I think that Thursday night you'll see Dak and, Zeke and CeeDee Lamb and some of the Micah Parsons. You'll see them
here
for a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't see them – resting two straight weeks, but
what if they beat the Eagles? What if they beat the Eagles?
If they beat the Eagles, then yeah, I mean,
no Jalen Hurts, maybe, right? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's Minshew mania, baby.
Right,
let's go.
So if the Cowboys win that game, I would assume that they would still be going after it, right?
Yeah, they would need. By my math, the Cowboys would need to win out, and the Eagles would need to lose out.
Yeah,
because them losing to the Jags kind of messed stuff up for a lot of people. but that's kind of where
problematic win.
You bring up Treylon Burks. I am curious because you never know how this league is going to work. Could Malik Willis to Treylon Burks be the future? Could it not? Who knows? But the fact that Malik Willis would have Treylon Burks available, I think, is big, because I do want to see that combination. Let him throw a little bit to number 16, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, yeah. They badly need that. I'm trying to think now. Actually, was Burks was not available? Is that right? That was during the time period when Burks was out with the turf toe, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
So he hasn't had that luxury. So, yeah, look, what you saw in the Kansas City game was, basically a lot of, just throw the fade. And it worked out. I mean, he threw some nice passes in that game. Throw the fade without Treylon Burks available, and that, to me, is the number one guy you want to throw the fade to on this roster. So, that's a big – I mean, give him a jet sweep, get him some screens, get him the ball. Him and Chig, get those two rookies the football, because those guys can actually make plays. And that, there's a limitations elsewhere.
Do you want
that offense?
So do you want to see – Downing to have more design runs for Malik Willis, tailor the offense to him?
Absolutely.
I agree.
Well, you have to. You have to. And I mean, I guess you could look at it like, well, Tannehill's not again, we're all projecting this forward and assuming, but I feel pretty good in assuming that Tannehill not being available this week is a little bit of an indication on its own, right? But no, if he isn't available, you could say, well, you don't want to get Willis hurt,
I mean, but at this point.
But, yeah, use what he does well. Absolutely. I mean, to me, more read option stuff with Willis and Henry, the RPO game, stuff like that. But, I mean, quarterback power. I mean, quarterback draw. All
that's
of
his strength. You got to play to his strengths.
Yeah,
and you know, you use that phrase. You don't want to get him hurt. And you're around the team more than I am. You're around Vrabel more than I am. I do feel like sometimes there's a little too much of that, and it doesn't matter because they got an injury report that's longer than my arm. But I know in the preseason and just it does feel like there's a, well, we don't want to get him hurt. And a lot of times when you live in that fear, guess what happens? They get hurt.
Okay, so in other words, you think that Vrabel is at times holds guys back more than some coaches do?
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've seen some other people say that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, I guess that would help explain some of the outrageous numbers on the injuries. But I also feel like there are some guys who rally every week and play, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I think he more or less leaves it up to the individual. But maybe he's not as – the thing is, I think this is where things are going. I think, look, in the old days, it was a lot more, come on, rally up for your team.
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, get in there. I mean, concussions, it was like seriously like, okay, slap them around a little bit and get them back out there, right? A little bit of water. Yeah. So there was more like, I think Vrabel is definitely more new school in terms of like if there's a question, if you're not comfortable with it, I'm not going to press you on it. I mean, but then again, I also feel like there was frustration from Vrabel in the Adoree Jackson thing, you know?
No. Big time.
You know, so I don't know. It's an interesting point. And with the injury stuff, it's like everything's on the table because it's like we're all just trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Well, and Adoree Jackson was one of those players. You can always tell when Vrabel doesn't like you. I mean, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, they didn't mesh. Adoree, who I really enjoyed. But Adoree is not a love ball kind of guy. No. He's not obsessed with football guy. Like Malcolm Butler was that guy.
Yeah.
Adoree was like, you know.
Whatever.
Happy-go-lucky. Pretty good player, though.
Yeah, pretty good
player.
When
he's healthy.
For sure, when he's healthy. So, what do we expect out of Malik Willis and this offense? 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're up and running here on a Wednesday. Chase in for Robbie Stanley. Today, it's Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Ryan Tannehill's status for their game coming up this weekend also in doubt after he re-injured his right ankle this past weekend against the Chargers. Now, Tannehill gutted it out, got carted off, came back into the game. He is as tough as they come. If there's any way Tannehill can be on the field, he's going to be out there. But my understanding is this is an uphill battle for Ryan Tannehill to be ready this weekend, which means rookie Malik Willis, who got his first NFL start a couple months ago against the Texans, could end up starting against Houston again.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, on Ryan Tannehill. Back here, Robbie and Rex Road. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. So it looks like it will be Malik Willis again, if you believe all of the reports. And, you know, I look at it like this, Joe. If he's not going to be 100% for the rest of the year. We know that. He hasn't been. He's been playing on the ankle. If, like you said, if Jacksonville wins Thursday night, there's no reason to play Ryan Tannehill. Save him until the end because you know that week 18 game in Jacksonville is going to mean everything. So you might as well just give him a couple weeks to get as close to okay as he possibly can and then see what the kid can do.
Yeah, I don't even think it'll get to that. I don't think if this was – okay, I guess if this was a playoff game. Like, honestly, if this was a playoff game, I don't think he'd play.
Because he probably can't.
Well, go look physically at the injury again. Yeah, exactly. I guess maybe they could try to do like the Wentz thing that the Colts did last year in here where it's like, you know, Carson, stand in shotgun, take the snap, and throw it as well as you can without stepping into a throw because you can't even walk, you know?
Yeah, but Tannehill's not that type.
No. I think Tannehill is out the next two games. And, hey – but at that point, it'll be – let me see. How's my math? It'll be 3 weeks, basically, of rest. And even then, I bet you that there are limitations. That's just looking at the injury because, you know, and I heard you guys talking about it on your show the other day. You know, you get shot up. You have adrenaline. you get you're in the midst of that game, you can do it.
Right.
But there's plenty of examples of that. Vrabel was asked about that yesterday or the other day maybe, but there's plenty of examples of that happening and then it blows up on you. And this thing being a reoccurrence and everything, yeah. I think the Tannehill thing isn't – I don't even think it's like going to be a decision, you know.
Sure.
So I think we're going to see a lot of Malik Willis. And, you know, Chuck on the text line, driven by Wilson County and Hyundai.com, said, you know, grand scheme, these games may mean nothing, but in the grass of four-game losing streak, controversy in the front office, Texans game means a great deal. I agree. They need positivity. They need a win. Whether the Jags go blow out the Jets, and I think the Titans badly want to win the game, I just think some personnel decisions could be dictated.
Yeah, and I'm – so I listened to the players and, you know, Kevin Byard and his comments and then Derrick Henry yesterday. And, you know, I'm not on the Stillman train of, you know, the sky is falling and, you know, everything. But you can definitely tell that there's frustration. And there should be. I mean, there absolutely should be. You know, I don't know if you heard it. He called Derrick Henry a 16-year-old girl that didn't want to talk to her parents at the dinner table.
No, yesterday. Wait. Explain that context to me.
I mean, basically, it was like, "How's your day?" I don't want to talk about it. Like that was his
Derrick's presser.
Yeah, that's kind of how he was yesterday.
Extra mumbly.
Yeah, I mean,
get me out
look,
of here.
Look, he was in a mood. He didn't want to do it, and I get it. Like he shouldn't. Like he should be pissed off right now. They've lost four in a row. Byard should be pissed off, but I am curious of what they're going to do with that. You know, I don't put it as Vrabel's losing the room or anything like that. I just think this is a frustrated and pissed off football team right now, and they need to take that frustration and use it against the Texans.
Yeah, the Vrabel losing the room, that's certainly – it's interesting. You know, Stilly and Pauly, I feel like, are really driving that bus. You know, Paul Kaharski's asking that question this week. Vrabel getting very pissy about it, you know.
Oh, of course.
And I haven't been able to hear a lot of Jared, but I saw a tweet that was like, has Vrabel lost the team? You know.
I don't think he's lost the team.
Yeah, I don't. Look, I think, first of all, when you have a four-game losing streak, I think anything can be on the table. I think Kaharski is pointing out specific mistakes, right? But the bottom line is when the team is winning under the greatest coach of all time, I bet you like the Packers jumped off sides when Vince Lombardi was there, right? Like I think it's fine to ask a question, but I agree with you. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is their personnel's bad, their offense has been bad all year. And yes, I do think that the owner blew up one game, and that one game that gets blown up, and I'm not putting it, I mean, look, don't turn the ball over, but that one game that gets blown up, think about how different this whole month would be right now.
Oh, it'd be
just win that game, and anyway, it's. I mean, right now it's like Ryan seeing the playoffs because Malik Willis is just going to take it from here. And I mean, yeah, it would just be a totally different feeling. And that one loss has turned this into an urgent and kind of desperate situation. But yeah, I don't think Vrabel has like lost the team or anything.
No, I think,
I don't think they're very good right now.
Yeah, they're not very good right now, and I think Vrabel has had to do an impossible job because his owner, you know, threw a grenade into everything in the middle of the season. Now, whether you believe that John Robinson should have been fired or not, you know, that was an off-season discussion. That was my whole thing. It was never that, look, he's done all these great things. He should not be fired. No, you evaluate that in the off-season. But the fact that she was like, yeah, why wait, you know, and did it now – It created a distraction. And people that, you know, I've had conversations with people like, that team didn't seem distracted. No, but the coach did, because the coach has had to play damage control.
Yeah. They're all distracted. I mean, first of all, like, even if you're in that locker room on those open days, it's all everybody was asking about.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's human nature that this
and,
is
a and you go home and you get asked about it. Hey, what happened to John?
Well, sure, exactly. Yeah, I mean, look, like Byard's talking about, like, I mean, like his wife and John's wife are really close friends.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge, huge deal in the middle of a and for as much as coaches, you know, talk about distraction and routine and personal time that you have to spend preparing for a game. These games are all about preparation. You disrupt that significantly, and it's probably going to show up on game day.
615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark in Nashville wants to weigh in on the Titans. Mark, welcome in.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, the game Sunday, man. You got Malik Willis starting. Steelman, he's not going to like that, hearing that Willis is going to start, but I think he can go in there and do an adequate job running some RPOs, feed the ball to Derrick Henry. They can get a big win Sunday. That may give them the confidence back that they need. But also, Joe, I wanted to tell you, I'm going to be listening to you this evening. I want to hear you whoop Steelman once again on a debate. I'm your biggest support on them debates because we bet on you at work, Joe.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we bet on you at work, Joe, and you won us a pretty good little amount of money here the last couple of weeks. So I want to see you go in there and just destroy Steelman. Anytime you can do that and shut his mouth and get him angry, that's a blessing to us. And Merry Christmas, fellas, and have a good New Year. I'm gone.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate
it. Merry Christmas.
That is incredible.
That's way too much pressure, Mark. Although, can I get a cut of that?
You should. Yeah. You should get something.
What are the odds? Can we start setting a line on this, you know?
I would say you're the favorite because, one, Caroline probably likes you more at this point.
Yeah,
how could you not?
Well, but it depends, you know, because sometimes they agree on something and I don't. And so then if that question gets introduced, you know,
yeah.
it's an automatic disadvantage. Right. So it depends on what's going on during that particular week. But, wow, that's really nice, Mark.
See,
I'm so glad to be gambled on.
Caroline's been doing the midday show once or twice a week, and that is really by design of, you know, you just – we need to limit your time around him because then when you start talking like him, I get nervous. There should only be one, you know.
He's handled it incredibly well.
To Mark's point, you could tell Stillman that Peyton Manning in his prime is going to start for the Titans and he'd find something wrong with it.
He is very down on Malik Willis. I will say that.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Malik Willis right now is not, you know, he's not ready to be a winning starter in the NFL. But I think they can win the game with Malik Willis at quarterback Saturday.
I mean, his record is what, 1-1, 2-1,
beat the Texans, lost to the Chiefs.
Was there one more?
1-1, right?
Yeah, 1-1.
Yeah, I don't think he started a third game, did he?
Yeah, no, he only started two. He played in the Buffalo game, but obviously
that's right.
That was a blowout.
Yeah, so he's 1-1. Yeah. All right, Jaden wants to weigh in on the Titans. Jaden, welcome in.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing well.
Great. So I just wanted to weigh in on this weekend's game. So if Malik starts, I have a strong feeling that this game is going to almost be a replica of what we saw in Houston however long ago that was. Just how the game goes, I mean, you got a one and whatever team, not a very good Houston team coming in, and then you got a Titans team that's just angry and can't figure it out. I have a feeling we might, like I said, might see another repeat of a low scoring, not many offensive drive game for both teams. And if Malik's starting, not to bash on him too much, but I just foresee that happening. But I'll leave it there. I hope y'all have a great holiday. Chase, Joe, and Michelle, stay safe and have a great holiday.
Thanks, Jaden. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. He just hit on something that I want to bring up coming up next because there's something Houston has been doing that worries me a little bit, and it should worry you too. We'll do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road. Chase McCabe and Joe Rex Road today. Here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's the balance between game planning for the Texans and preparing for a potential impact of the weather?
Well, I mean, I think it could be windy. It'll be cold. I mean, I think the impact of the kicking game, I think that, you know, we would have had to prepare to return kicks against the Texans anyways. They're a very good special teams unit, very good kickoff. I think they're, you know, first or second in kickoffs inside the 20-yard line. You know, so even in the dome, they're you know, Fairbairn's kicking them up there. They're covering them extremely well. So we would have had to return, you know, kickoffs and be really good in that phase from a special team standpoint. you know, maybe just ball security, you know, understanding that, you know, how critical it is here late in the year when you're dealing with weather. And if it snows, it snows. If it rains or freezes, you know, they'll be, you know, the same for everybody.
Mike Vrabel on the Texans and the weather. Back here, Robbie and Rex Road. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today with Joe Rexford and Michelle Knezovic. We'll have Preds Pick to Click coming up in about 15 minutes, so be on the lookout for that. But something that I would worry about if I'm a Titans fan, you look at the Houston Texans, especially over the course of the last couple of weeks. They almost beat Dallas. They almost beat Kansas City. They're playing for Lovie Smith. That's a team that they're, you know, by now you would think they're in Cancun on three mode. Like, they're just going through the motions, just get us to the end of the season, and then we're done. But I don't see that. I see a team that's still fighting, even though they're likely going to pick number one overall. You know, I don't know if they're going to win another game, but at the same time, they could come in here on Sunday and beat the Titans and make things even more interesting, making it the fifth in the row. I think Vrabel is probably seeing that they haven't given up, but I think it's definitely a concern that you have a bad team that doesn't know they're bad. They haven't quit playing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a
credit to Lovie Smith.
Yeah, it is. That's one of the things I like about the NFL, though. I think you can find a lot of bad, awful teams that still, like, pull some upset late in the season because, yeah, I think you're probably right. They're playing for Lovie Smith. And, again, it's like, it's hard to be in this league, man. I mean, there's, like, guys that are playing to be in it next year. So – and guys, just with pride, they got some good players. Like you said, they have the Cowboys beat. As you know, I'm sure you watched that game.
Oh, I did. I was watching with Ryan Porth.
That's right. You're in Chicago. I mean, they had that pick, and they're inside the 10. Yeah. It's like they're about to put this away, and they blow it. And then of course last week they're right there. I'm trying to think, you know, they lost more handily to the Browns, Dolphins, Commanders, but you know they went to New York a few weeks ago against the Giants and had a chance to win that game too. So, now look, I mean, they could absolutely come in here and win this game. They got this kind of two quarterback thing going on right now, which is interesting. Now they did lose Damian Pierce, which I thought,
that's a big one.
I thought that might, you know, really hurt them, but it didn't initially. So we'll see. I think Titans are probably glad to not have to see him. Dustin from Hopkinsville says Texans whooping our ass Sunday. I don't know about that, Dustin. Lights out last two games against good teams. Our Titans will be watching AFC round one from a lazy boy because the Jags are hungry. Well, I see that sentiment. You may be right. You may be right. Old Sunshine going to shock everyone in the playoffs. Wait, is that Trevor Lawrence? Is he Sunshine?
From he kind of looks like it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Got the hair.
See that? Yeah.
Definitely got the hair. I mean, I think that fear is becoming more and more for, you know, for Titans fans and for all of us as, you know, that cover the team and talk about the team, you know, could they really be on the verge of missing the playoffs after they had a stranglehold on a bad division? You know, it just shows you what the difference a month can make in the National Football League that they're at that point, because I'm with you. I think that week 18 game against Jacksonville is going to be for the division. NBC, could they flex it? I mean, yeah, well, it might be.
There's three games flex. There's two games flex to Saturday, like a 4:30 and an 8, and then there's the Sunday nights. So one of those three spots it could be.
Yeah, look, I don't know if Jags-Titans is really what you drew up, but if it's for a division.
Yeah, if it's a winner-take-all, I would imagine you'd get one of those spots. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, last time they were in that position against Indy, it was Vrabel's first year.
Right.
That was flex to Sunday Night Football.
And that was – that wasn't for the division, right?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Is that right? I thought the Titans were just win and get into the playoffs.
You may be right, because that might.
I think
might,
the, I think
might
the
have
Texans
been the
won
that,
the division with Deshaun Watson, right?
I think you're. Yeah, I think you might.
But
be
it
right.
was. But it was the winner. It was winning in though. For yeah. Those. So either way, it's same thing. If you have both teams playing for something, usually that's now there could be more than there. If you look at the schedule last week, there are some other games that could. You know, could be in that category, but yeah, I know the TV execs cannot be sitting there like, oh, good, let's get Titans Jags for the whole thing. But you know what? Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is an exciting player. Derrick Henry, marketable player.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Malik Willis.
Hey, Malik Willis on a two-game winning streak as starting quarterback?
You might get that. Ron says, I watched Willis play his first game with Liberty against Western Kentucky. That's the way we need him to play, 168 rushing yards and three touchdowns. That would be awesome, but it's the NFL. So I don't know if I'd bank on that.
Yeah.
I agree, have more design runs and not worry about injury. I mean, you kind of have to throw that out the door at this point.
No, for sure. No, look, you have to.
Nobody wants to see Kevin Hogan come in, but, you know.
Right, exactly.
Damn you, Arthur Smith, taking Logan Woodside.
Oh,
what are you
man.
Doing, man?
I tell you what. Yes, Titans Southeast there. Yeah, look, they didn't need it against Houston the first time because it was just Derrick. Just give it to Derrick Henry, and they were caving in that Texans front. But remember, too, that was a healthier offensive line than I think the Titans are going to have this week. I mean, I think Ben Jones, that's a real problem, just taking him out alone. And there's questions all over the line. But, now, you know, the Kansas City game, I think they should have done it more in that game. I think they should have done it more. And I think that you have to lean in on that for sure. And, again, if you get Burtz back, you got to get him the ball.
David in Arkansas says, if the RPO keeps working for Willis Saturday, Downey needs to stick with it instead of going away from it. It seems like when something starts to work, he goes away from it, i.e. not give the ball to Henry on 3rd-and-2 when he was averaging over 4 yards per carry. I agree with David. It does feel like, and it's probably not entirely true, but it does feel like something starts working, and then that's when Downey tries to get too creative and like, oh, let's add this and this and this. And then it just blows up. I suggest that Vrabel has a shot collar on Downing, and when he starts to do that, he just, you know, hits it. Like, no! No!
Well,
bad Todd.
Well, according to Jared, isn't Vrabel calling the plays?
Well, no. I mean, that was Caroline's question. I mean, according to Vrabel, it sounds like all plays go through him. So if that's the case, then now we know.
Is that what you think he said?
No, I took it as... Like, I'm a part of it all, which I have final say, which...
But is that different than any head coach?
I mean, like... No, but I mean, like, okay, so we had this discussion the other day of, you know, can Vrabel veto a play? Well, number one, do you have... I mean, I'm sure he can, but do you have time?
Usually, no.
Right, like, you have 20 seconds in the headset or whatever
which
is.
Which is Downing.
Yeah, which is Downing.
And, I mean, if you look on the sideline, he has the play sheet, and he's the one barking that stuff out. So I
mean,
I don't know.
Vrabel doesn't have time to go, no, I don't like that. Let's do zip right trips 52 A-flat. You know, like
I would say preemptively, maybe, or even coming up, Todd, if it's 3rd-and-2 or, you know, we're doing – or I want – you know, you can do it. But, yeah, to jump in and zap a play, then you're going headset to Downing, and then he has to then adjust that in the 20 seconds to the quarterback. That's that doesn't happen much.
And I don't know exactly, you know, if he calls an actual play or if he just says like, hey, you're 21C on your wristband, you know, and that tells, you know, Tannehill what the play is.
I think he's calling the play. If you look at, I mean, it looks like he's barking a lot of stuff out.
Yeah. So, and then Tannehill has to turn and do it. So I don't really know how you have time to veto if you're Vrabel.
No, like timeouts, you know, you're talking about something. Hey, I want this. Or, again, it could be like, hey, you know, we're going to go. If it's so you know what? We're going to go. We're at their 38. It's 3rd-and-4. Even if we don't – well, let's run because we're going to go on 4th if we don't get it. So we're going to run on 3rd-down, Todd. You know, something like that, quickly, and then you get to that play and he calls it. But, yeah, I mean, Todd Downing's – the play caller, but again, unless they are like actually faking it and he's just talking to no one and there's someone else, you know, I don't think it's quite that cloak and dagger over there. So, but look, Todd, my biggest problem Sunday was, yeah, the 3rd-and-2s. I like Derrick Henry on the field, whether you give it to him or not. I like that threat, but my biggest problem was 1st down at the 24 or whatever, 25. Henry's running well, and you call a straight drop back on 1st down. And Tannehill would have been sacked about 4 times by the time he had the amount of time to set up on a normal pass play. It just sacked immediately, and you just, you know, right there, like, you just you know, if you're going to call a pass, like, you have to do something, move the pocket. I don't know. You just cannot leave him like that to just lose that yardage. And then, of course, we know what happened in the rest of the possession. That was a promising possession gone bad on, to me, that first down call.
By the way, I meant to bring this up. Have you heard that Jared now supports Dennis Daly? This is where we are in the flip-flopping.
Oh, okay.
He's like, lay off of Dennis Daly. You know, he's trying.
Is that the film room is?
Yeah, I guess that's what okay. Coach Jared or yeah. Scout Jared or whatever has learned. But
well, he hates Raiden's. I heard him last week say that Raiden should be cut for liking tweets. So I guess if you're going to cut him, you got to stick with Dennis Daly.
I guess so. Something like that. 615-737-1025. It is time for Preds Pick to Click. The Predators back in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, and you can participate in Preds Pick to Click. That's all next here on Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Yes, it is. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezovic. Pick to click time. Predators back in action against the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. I'll have pregame coverage for you at 6:30 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com and bring in Justin. Justin, welcome in. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
All right. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators?
Give me Matt Duchene. He's only got 8 goals this year. Let's get that number up.
All right. Justin's going with Matt Duchene. Justin, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
What do you think of that? He's been on a little bit of a streak.
I mean, he did score last game. Power play goal, of all things. 0-for-21 streak broken. God, last year it was so automatic. Forsberg, Duchene, Duchene, Forsberg. Forsberg, Duchene, Duchene, Forsberg. And so you would think.
A Yossi was in there. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Also, quick standings update.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners and Joe are both still at 6 in the lead. Robbie is at 5, and Chase will be picking for Robbie today. And I am in last place at 4 in the order today. Listener, Joe, then me, and then Chase. So, Joe, you are first today.
Yeah, see, I don't like it. I don't want to be first. I don't like it.
I feel
it.
Like you complain whether you're first or last.
I'm just keeping it real, man. Just keeping it real. God, I just don't know if I want to do Forsberg, you know? He just, like, the other night, I did a lot of watching Forsberg. And it just, he's got to give more to me than he's giving here. But at the same time, it's still, like, the right pick, right? So can I pass and then
no,
I get to
know? No, just pick.
Go Forsberg.
He sounds so excited. Philip Forsberg off the board.
Yeah,
okay. Michelle. Well, yeah. I am glad you didn't pick who I was going to pick. And I'm usually between two people, but I'm going to just solely go for him today. Roman Yossi, I'm going to go with the captain. And we'll be having him on at 9 a.m. this morning.
Yes, we will. Man, you took my pick.
Huh.
I was going to go with the captain. You know what? This guy's due. Give me Nino. Nino Niederreiter.
That's why I thought Michelle was going to go.
Yeah.
Nino has been successful for me this year, for sure.
I'll go Nino. I mean, I'm hoping they can carry the momentum that they got the other night. That was a good game. That was one of the best games they played all year, even though it took overtime. Edmonton's, you know, a good team. Yeah. They held Draisaitl to no points. McDavid just had a couple of assists. Did a good job containing them. But I'll take Nino. But, yeah, tonight, we were talking about this yesterday. We had David Poile on. And, you know, I was like, if they lose, if they've lost 7 in a row, how is this interview going to go? Like, it's, you know, he comes on every week. But, obviously, there's a lot of questions that you would have. I don't think everything is fixed by any means with one win. But if they can play like that consistently, then you're going to start to feel better about things. My question to David was, how do you get more consistent play? Because that's been the issue all year, is you might have one good game, and then you put the same lineup out there, and then the next game it just falls off again. Tonight is an opportunity to play a bad team and to kind of continue to build that confidence. But I do worry sometimes because I feel like they'll play down to their competition.
Well, I mean, at least this year, I mean, if you look at their wins, most of their wins are against bad teams.
Right.
So they've at least mostly handled that. You have to win this game. I mean, you have to. Because I agree. That was one of their best games of the year. Duchesne said afterward, best game they played in a long, long time. Actually got a power play goal. Like you said, I thought they did a really good job on those two monsters who usually come in here and just destroy them. Five-on-five, they're good. Cody Glass, you know, is a story right now for sure. I assume we're going to see the same lineup, right? I
mean, probably, yeah, well, David Poile did tell us that Ryan McDonough will be back
in. And McDonough's back in, and we saw – I think Gross has been playing well, by the way.
He did. They David explained that they had to send him – they sent him down because of the roster freeze and just let him get some playing time, but –
We'll see him again. We'll see him again. But yeah, getting McDonough back's a big deal. But the Lions, it's just, I mean, obviously it's just been so much upheaval and so much switching and trying to find. So I would assume we'd see the same lines, right?
I would think so. And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. You have to win this game. You got to get some momentum. Then you get back to good teams. Like, you're gonna have to, I mean, you don't have a ton of mulligans left.
No, you know?
You got a lot of season left, but like, you've used up some capital here with some of these bad stretches. But you, like, to me, it's the other night was a feel good night. I thought it was a good night in the building, you know, everything. There was a lot to like about it, but that you just basically erase it if you blow this night. Go, you know, handle the crappy as we thought they would be Blackhawks.
Well, they find themselves 6 points out of a playoff spot right now. So you got to start accumulating points. You know, 4-4-2 in your last 10, even though you got a couple of overtime points, you got to start getting wins and regulation wins too. This is a great opportunity to do that tonight. And then you got Colorado coming here on Friday, which, you know, Colorado's a team that you struggled with. It's funny, I didn't realize this until Willie said it yesterday. The other night against Edmonton, that was the first John Hines win against the Oilers since John Hines has been the coach.
It's amazing because they, right before that, they used to dominate them.
Yeah, Pekka used to have their number. Bless you.
Thank you.
But Pekka used to, you know, completely dominate them. So then Draisaitl and McDavid, you know,
but even
just got into their prime.
With those guys, I mean, he's had great games. He had great games against them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah. No, it was that's interesting. I didn't realize that either. And, you know, to see Draisaitl not especially carve them up the other night was something.
See. Yeah, well, I know, because he's been the one. I mean, McDavid is McDavid, but it's been Draisaitl against the Predators. But, again, you know, you have to have tonight. Chicago's just awful. That is a bad team.
And they had a good start, too, by the way. Remember, like, they were one of the surprise teams in the first, like, 3 weeks? I mean, that's how bad they've been since then.
Well, I mean, they have 7 wins. And that came –
early.
They're on a 7-game losing streak. So you do not want to be the one that ends that tonight. 1-9-0 in their last 10. Now, I am curious of what – you know, do they go back to Saros, ride the hot hand, or do you put Lankanen in against his former team on the road tonight?
Great question. Do you have a back-to-back coming up?
You do
Friday and Saturday. Next week.
Yeah, next week. Anaheim and Vegas.
I think I'd go Saros again, right?
I'd ride the hot hand.
Yeah. He's playing. He looks like UC Saros lately. And he has not been rewarded for it as he should have been with those two, you know, overtime games. It absolutely should have been wins when your goalie plays like that. I mean, Lankanen's been good. Lankanen's been one of the good stories of this team this year, but I think I'd go Saros.
Coming up next, it is signing day. We're going to talk to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, at 7:30, but we'll talk to Wes Rucker, Go Vols 24/7, get the latest on UT coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word about Superbook Sports.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Chase. And listen, earlier in the show, we were talking about this big Thursday night matchup. You got the Jags and the Jets. And if the Jags win, we could very much be seeing an AFC South showdown in Jacksonville for Week 18. And Superbook wants to help you make a little extra money this holiday season. So who doesn't love that? They're going to help you make your parlays pop this holiday season. Win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. Now listen, this is all you have to do. You have to place a three-team football parlay. I already mentioned the Thursday night football matchup between the Jags and the Jets. It's pretty much a pick 'em. The Jets are favored by 1 point. But listen, if Zach Wilson is still their quarterback, I think the Jags are on a roll right now, and this team is really clicking. So give me the Jacksonville Jaguars plus the one. And like I said, three-team football parlay. So we got one. Now, Atlanta Falcons, Baltimore Ravens this weekend. Without Lamar Jackson, the Ravens are favored by 7.5. So I'm going to take the Falcons plus the 7.5. And we have got a very cold one on Christmas Eve. The Buffalo Bills at the Bears. The Bills are favored by 9. I think they win by about a touchdown, but give me the Bears plus the 9. So like I said, they'll give you a $10 bonus voucher to your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. So rack up the wins, earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.